Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. We're going to talk about the fall of mankind. And he did have a fall. He fell from a righteous standing with God. He fell in his sin. And he became a sinner and needed help. Praise God. Everybody knows something about falling. Surely you've fell from somewhere before. In the natural, I have, right where I'm standing. 15 years ago. Amen. But there's a greater fall that's talked about, and it is a fall spiritually that happened in the Garden of Eden. Amen. It is Mission Sunday, and we spend our life and spend the ministry trying to talk people how to recover from the fall that they had. And because people fall into sin all the time, people fall from their righteous standing with God because they don't turn to God with all their heart. But God provides a way that we can recover from our fall. So let's notice the word of God, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field in which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? And have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And the story goes on. And so we'll continue tonight, but not until this morning. Okay. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd bless, encourage our hearts, Lord. Give us instruction from your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated if you like. The Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun, but we discover things that we have never knew of ourselves. And there are things that the first couple discovered, many of which they had not wished they had not discovered. And people discover things they really don't want to discover, hidden things. But the first couple in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve here, they would discover guilt, they would discover fear, nakedness, loss of fellowship with God, loneliness, separation from God, physical death, and eventually spiritual death, and eventually physical death. And so they had a lot that they would learn that they didn't need to learn. And God's plan was the earth be filled with his glory, and God created mankind, and God meant for mankind to spread his glory throughout the earth. And God always meant for mankind to have fellowship with him. The Bible says that God talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. There's no doubt that this was a literal gathering where they met with God face to face and talked to God. The most wonderful fellowship that could ever be had, they had with him. And God meant for his earth and his creation, mankind, to be filled with fellowship with himself. However, instead, when man sinned, he fell from his righteous standing with God, and from then on, all the seed of Adam would be born with a tendency to do evil instead of good. And so mankind would be born with a sin nature from that point on, even till today. And so there's coming a day, thank God, Habakkuk 2:14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, where God will again restore the earth to what it should be and what he intended it to be to start with. And it will be free of sin at that time. Okay, so let's look at the scriptures, if we can, today about the fall of mankind. And we look at the first temptation and the serpent here. Let's just put it in our language, snake, viper, whatever you want to call it. And it does, it's amazing here, Eve doesn't seem surprised that the snake talked to her. I don't know, I guess he spoke Hebrew. Anyway, the devil can tempt people in any language. But somehow he could talk and communicate with her, and the serpent was possessed by Satan, no doubt. And that's how that the communication took place. And the first temptation was to question what God had said. We see the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. And he brings a question here to Eve, and he says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And he questioned God, and we might put it this way, did God really mean what he said? Did you really take God literally? And maybe if this had been modern day things, he might have said, let me expound upon that for a little bit and spread this out a little bit where we can understand it better. No. Did God really say this? Did he really mean what he said? And people still question God the same today. And we want to fill with the earth with a knowledge of the truth of God about sin, about rebellion, about how that sin separates a person from God. And we want to fill the earth with the answer that Jesus brings us back. And through Christ, we can be born again of God's Spirit. And we can begin to behave and walk and live the way God meant for us to live to start with. Amen. And so that God wants us, mankind, to be redeemed, bought back. That's what redeemed means, to be purchased back from sin to salvation, to hope, from hopelessness to hope again. Praise the Lord. And so people still question God's word today. And people have the question, will mankind really face God one day? People think that. They will. We will. And people will say, well, is there really a hell? Could really a loving God ever have a hell? Let me tell you something. Could a loving God who never sinned, knows no sin, ever have a heaven for us, for his people, if he did not have a punishment for those who rebelled against him? Okay? Is there really a hell? There is. Scripture says there is. Is there really a reckoning day? And people may ask that today, and people in atheistic belief have their own way, is where the atheism itself becomes a religion of unbelief. And so we find here today that if we go to the New Testament, we find that the Apostle Peter spoke of this also. He says, knowing in the last times, the last days, and surely that's what we're in, that scoffers will come in the last days, unbelievers, walking according to their own lust, and there will be people that will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And we could look at that today and say, well, I've heard about Jesus coming all my life, and I have too. Your pastor has. It's been preached to me, and I'm very glad for every time it was preached to me that Jesus could come now, today. He could. Praise the Lord. And this is what I want to be doing if he comes. It wouldn't bother me at all if Jesus just come while I'm preaching. It wouldn't bother you if Jesus came while you're singing about his love, his glory, his grace, his redemption power. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're living for God, you've got nothing to lose. We got everything to be thankful for. God has a place prepared for his people. Hallelujah. Heavenly place. Praise the Lord. And so people question in Peter's day, where is the promise of his return? For our fathers, since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And he goes on to say, for this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded by water. I won't expound on that too much. But we find in the New Testament or the Old Testament, the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep when God created everything. And church, we believe all mankind will face God, will answer to their Creator. And therefore we preach, we live, we proclaim Christ to a sinful world so that they may be saved from the wrath to come. My friend, you do not want to be an object of God's wrath. You want to be an object of God's mercy. And God has made it so that you could be an object of His mercy. And God loves you. And God is not willing that any should perish, fall under His judgment. God was willing that all should repent and come to know Christ as Savior so they can be delivered and be saved. But there's two certain appointments that nobody will miss. And you may make an appointment at the doctor, and you may wait for an hour before he gets to you to the time he said he'd get to you. Amen. I'm not the only one that said amen. Okay. Or you may have an appointment that you miss and get a bill in the mail saying you missed your appointment, and here's a bill for where you should have been. But you see, in the spiritual, there's two appointments we won't miss. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. And so there's two appointments we will not miss. We're appointed unto man once to die, in the sense that we will all die physically. I'm sure you figured that out by now, if you've lived very long, that life didn't go on forever here in the physical. And so we will have an appointment with death. And we do not have to fear, because if you're born again of God's Spirit, your physical body will die, but your spirit man lives on forever and ever. The second or the moment that you die physically, your spirit man leaves your body. The Bible says there is a natural man body and there is a spiritual body. Your spirit man leaves this body and goes to be eternally with Christ if you're saved. It goes to be eternally in hell if you're not saved. Okay? So we know that's going to happen. You're going to have an appointment with death, and then you're going to have an appointment with God where we will answer to God for our life here. And it means everything to know Christ and the cross and the blood that He shed and the price that He paid there, because He was judged at the cross for your sins, amen, for our sins, amen. God has made Him, Christ, to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so when God sees you through the righteousness of His Son will say, "This one believed in me and my work at the cross, that he belongs to me." And so therefore, you will not undergo the judgment of the sinner, but you will be saved. Praise God. And the Bible gives us promise on this. 1 Thessalonians 9:1-9:10, it says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you," Paul tells the church at Thessalonica this, "and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Amen. So there's wrath of God that's going to come to this earth. God's going to judge the world. People, you think that get by with killing and hurting people and torturing kids and killing servants of God and get by with all the evil that you hear in this, they're not getting by with anything. I want to tell you, wrath of God's going to come upon this earth. And there's anybody today, right now, there's people in a literal burning hell that would give all 10,000 worlds for one opportunity to repent, but they can't. They're forever lost. Amen. Do you think Judas would give 30 more pieces of silver for one more opportunity to repent for denying Christ and betraying Christ? Yes, he would give anything and everything, but he has nothing to give. Okay, two appointments we're not going to miss. You don't want to be here for the wrath to come. You want to be under the mercy of God. And we cry out to God, and God will have mercy. God will not turn away anybody that cries out to Him. Jesus said, "All that come to me, everyone that comes to me, I will no wise cast him out." Jesus made it available for everybody. Amen. He's not anxious to judge anybody. God's not anxious for anybody to die in their sin. Jesus is willing, and not any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Jesus wants people to be saved, born again of His Spirit. He wants you in His eternity in heaven. And so He made it possible for whosoever will. Praise God. Second, we see here that there was a full awareness of sin that Adam and Eve both understood. Eve fully knew God's command, his restriction, and the penalty, so that there was no excuse for her sin. Or Adam's either. Just include everybody. And that she knew, as revealed in verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." I don't know what kind of fruit trees there were there, but they must have been good. Man. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." And so Adam and Eve, they knew nothing of death that we know of. But God had made them know what death was. God had surely revealed to them what it would mean for them to depart from him spiritually and physically and to be dead. Or else Eve would have known nothing of death to say die here, okay? But she knew what God had said. God says, don't eat, don't touch, lest you die. So she was without excuse. And we want to really be real hard on Eve, but you know, if you had been the first person in the Garden of Eden, you said, well, I wouldn't have done that. Well, you might have. Man. Because you see, everybody was born with a certainty that there is a God. People can spend all their life saying there's not a God, you know, and they spend all their life trying to prove something they really don't believe. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We can't deny that there's God. We can look in the sky at night or in the daytime. We see the God's there. Amen. And know that this all didn't just happen. There has to be a God. There has to be a creator. And so we know that mankind is really without excuse to say that I don't believe there's a God. Romans 3:19 says, "For now we know that whatever the law says," that's the Ten Commandments, "it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Because you see, by the Ten Commandments, God identified sin. And so man is clearly without excuse. "That all the world may be stopped and become guilty before God. And so all must repent in order to be saved." Okay? And this is the reason we send the gospel. This is the reason we do missions work. This is the reason we support the spread of the gospel. And just like our sister Sharon, Sharon Reeve stated there, you know, there's people there that are atheists. They either believe there is no God or they believe it's just religion. And the world is full of religions. And religion is simply man's search for God. But he's saying you can't find him in religion. You just got to kind of find him in relationship, personal relationship with Christ. And so the whole world is guilty. That's the reason we send the gospel to the world, so that nobody will say, "I haven't heard," or "I haven't known, or "I haven't knew anything, I haven't done anything about it," or "I didn't know there was a God to cry out to. I didn't know there was a Jesus that died on the cross for my sins. I didn't know that he was resurrected from the dead to give us eternal life." So that nobody, so people will be without excuse. They will know that there's a Christ. That's the reason we do missions. That's the reason we send the gospel. It's because we love people. We don't want people to be lost. I don't want to see anybody die and go to a devil's hell. I want them to repent, return to Christ, and be born again of God's Spirit and have their eternity sealed in heaven. Hallelujah. And that's reason for a mission service, and that's the reason why we send the gospel. It's not to just receive an offering. It's to send people to the ends of the earth. And here we have, there's many firsts here in the book of Genesis. And the word Genesis means beginnings. It's a book of beginnings. And so we hear the first lie here. And Satan says to the woman, verse 4, "You will not surely die." That's the first lie. And so the serpent looks at Eve and says, "You're not going to die because of this if you partake of the fruit of that tree." God didn't really mean what he said. You will not surely die. Even though God said you would, you won't. So that's a lie. The enemy, he starts practicing what he is, a liar. You will not surely die. Let's just perhaps that the serpent, this doesn't say this in the scriptures, but just a little, perhaps he says and reasons with her and says, there's life all around you. There's no death. There's no dying. There's living things everywhere throughout this garden that God's created. Do you really think you're going to die? Death is a stranger. It doesn't exist. Let's just say perhaps the serpent said that to Eve. It's not scripture. It didn't. Okay? But maybe he reasoned with her as to why she should just partake of the fruit and not fear of disobeying God. Nevertheless, God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And Eve had no excuse. She heard God say it. Amen. If we go back to the second chapter, we'll find there that God did say that. Amen. 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Okay? And so, the Garden of Eden must have been something. But he said, if you just partake of this tree, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. God's trying to keep something from you, Eve. Because in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. God's trying to withhold something good from you. Let me tell you something. God is never trying to withhold something good from you and I. As a matter of fact, God is God that by his nature is good. He created everything good, including mankind. And he looked at all of his creation and he said, behold, it was good. And so good only comes from God. It doesn't come from the devil. But God restricts us from things that will destroy us and that will hurt us that are not good for us. Just like a child, you learn, you teach a child not to touch the stove or the oven, or not to get through things that will hurt them. And that's what God does for us. God doesn't just place restrictions on people and upon Christian behavior because he doesn't want us to have a good time or to enjoy life. God places restrictions on things that will harm us and destroy us. Amen. The Bible tells us the thief, the devil, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God has something better always than enemy of your soul has. Okay? Years ago, I heard of a pagan psychiatrist. Not all psychiatrists are pagan, but this one was. And I've heard that psychiatrists and psychologists were all evil. That's not true. Many of them are saved and give good biblical instruction and help people. But some of them are pagan. And I heard a pagan told a married person one time, a married woman said, you need to have an affair. This will help your marriage. When did this ever fix any marriage? I think if we got any lick of common sense, and God gave it to us, he expects us to use it. Never fixed any marriage. But the cost would be the destruction of trust and love and help from companionship that God created it to be. And so it was a lie. And so lies fill our world today, and we have to learn to listen to the right voice. My friend, it's very simply instruction in the Word of God. You can find everything you need to find on marriage, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, those times, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives you some instruction on that. There's plenty of reasons why we should just be faithful to God. And so, psychiatrist is wrong. It's not surprising. And so that was a lie. And so Jesus calls Satan by his name in John 8:44. Jesus was talking to some people there and Pharisees and scribes, and they were saying that, Jesus, you really couldn't be of God. You really didn't come from God. And Jesus saying, I did come from God. And Jesus, you know, most churches would have got mad at him for preaching this, at Jesus. Because he said, you're of your father, the devil. He said, because he was a liar from the beginning. The truth is not in him, not in Satan. And it can never be in Satan. He's a liar and the father of it. He's not capable of telling the truth about anything. So we need to learn to listen to God and listen to his word. Because we're going to find the truth when we go to God and God and his word. Amen. And we're going to hear the truth from there. Praise the Lord. And we look at this and we say, that how did this happen? In verse 6, so that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Can you see it? She takes a piece of fruit and say, "Hey, baby, taste of this. See if it's any good." Ladies, like just like y'all have when your husband was there, "See if you like this." Not blaming it on the woman. Sounds like it though, doesn't it? Okay. And so she saw that it was good to for the food, pleasant to the eyes. This correlates with the scripture in the New Testament, 1 John 2:15, I believe it is, "Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." Is exactly what Satan used for Eve here. Man. And so can a person really fall from the grace of God? Surely Adam and Eve were surely under the grace of God as much as anybody ever was, yet they fell immediately from their righteous standing with God because they chose to sin and turn against God. At the moment they partook of the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually and began to die physically. It's only in the new heaven and the new earth that people will live physically forever. Even though we'll live spiritually forever when you're born again of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. It took redemption. It took blood to redeem them from sin by God providing animal skins for them for their covering showed that God, that the shedding of innocent blood was required to pay for sin. Verse 21, it tells us that they made themselves fig leaves, sewed them together, and said, "This will help cover us up for our sin." And they knew that they were naked. Before that, they were naked. Amen. Let me clarify that a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 24. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife. Let's just keep that in context. That's the only place nakedness is scriptural. The man and his wife, and they were not afraid or ashamed, okay? And so they sewed fig leaves together, verse 7, and made themselves coverings. Before that, they had nothing to cover up, but they were trying to hide themselves from their sin. And you cannot hide from God. The lust of the flesh here, let's see, the appearance of something good, the desire for something good, the fruit, but it was forbidden. And this is the sin nature that was birthed upon humanity in this place. And this is a worst trade in history. It's worse than all trades people ever made, politically, spiritually, or with goods from the United States or Canada or China or wherever. It was the worst trade ever to trade the perfect relationship with God for the nature to do evil instead of good. And today all evil stems from this sin. And you say, "We're paying." Yes, we are paying. Amen. "Well, I didn't do anything." Yes, all humanity did. Because it's birthed into us, and every aspect of society stems from this evil that came through Adam and Eve. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes is there. What we see isn't always as it seems. You know that. You know, you and I can be fooled pretty easily. And you say, "Well, this is not a make-you-feel-good speech." Well, maybe it's not. But you go into a store and you see something there that you want, and you just say the price is $45. And it has a slashed mark through it. It says, "Today only, $35. And chances are you'll buy that. Man, don't look at me so innocent. You've done it before. And so we're easily see things, but yet it's not as it seems. And she saw what was forbidden, sin looked good, and the enemy knows how to make sin look good. If it didn't look good, it wouldn't be so many people sinning. He knows how to make it look enjoyable and appealing, but to make her blind at the consequences of what it would cause in the end. And there's many people, most people, if we're honest with ourselves, if there's things in life we could do over, we would do over. And if there are choices that we could make completely opposite of choices we did make, we would make. But we don't have life to do over. But we can repent, and God can give us His grace and His love and His mercy to go on Do we think David, if he had to had the opportunity, wouldn't have made a different choice than Bathsheba to sin like that? Do you think, I can go through many examples, but if we had things to do over, we would, but we don't. Okay, so the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the pride to know God or to know better. Satan said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And they would know good and evil, but it wouldn't be good for them to know that. And the Bible tells us that pride enters in here. Pride goes for destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs tells us that. To have knowledge, to know everything, to increase knowledge, pride, to wish to be like God. To be like God, that was Satan's wannabe. Because he wanted to be like God, he desired worship, he wanted people to worship him, and he wanted to take God's place. We know he was kicked out of heaven for that. And he became a devil and a fallen angel, and a third of the angels fell with him. But our world is filled with the same sins that cause people to fall from God and from innocence. Their eyes were open for the first time they saw they were naked. They felt the need to cover themselves the first time. Tried their own covering, it wouldn't work. In the first messianic prophecy of Scripture, Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, that you shall bruise his heel. And that happened at the cross when Satan's power was taken away to bring death to people, and Jesus had the power to give eternal life by paying for our sins at the cross. Thank God for it. Praise the Lord. Adam and Eve hid themselves. Fear entered humanity. They'd never been afraid to face God before. They talked in fellowship with their Creator, but they were fearful when they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the cool of the day toward them. Something had blocked their innocence. They were innocent no more, would never be innocent. They had discovered guilt for the first time. But then they were guilty of nothing. Now they were guilty of everything. Sin. Rebellion against God's spoken word. And only the covering God accepts is something dying, something perfect dying in the place of the one who's committed the sin. And of course, that's fulfilled in Christ. We know that they made themselves coverings of fig leaves. That wasn't good enough. Some people still think that's enough covering today, kind of. But God made them animal skins in place, which would require the shedding of blood. And even when Cain and Abel came along, Cain and Abel knew that. And Abel offered perfect sacrifice of a lamb from his flock, because he knew without the shedding of blood, there was no payment for sin, no reconciliation to God without blood. And of course, Christ fulfilled that on the cross when the Lamb of God, Christ, died on the last altar, the cross, for the sins of the whole world. And mankind fell a long way. But I want to tell you something. The good news is it can be restored today. Not everything will be perfect here when you're a Christian, when you turn to God. Not everything will be perfect, but I can tell you the Christ that comes into your heart will be perfect. And the righteousness of Christ is perfect, and he lived completely without sin in this world. He never committed. He was tempted in all points as we are, but yet without sin, Jesus never failed one time. And by his perfect righteousness and by faith in him, his righteousness is applied to us, and God sees us through the righteousness of his Son. And that's the only way that God can stand to look at us. Thank God. Amen. Let us partake of that which is good, and that is Christ, by faith, so that we won't fall into sin and condemnation and be lost forever and be under the wrath of God. Yet we can be under his mercy. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord. So the fall was great, but God is able to pick you up and to carry you. And even as a Christian, as a believer, if you've failed and if you've fallen, God is still able to pick you up and restore you again. The Bible does say if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you fall and you sin, just don't try to make excuse for it. Don't just keep partaking of the sin. You turn to God and ask God to forgive you, and he will forgive you. Amen.